Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Mara. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You are okay. It's unusual to be having a show this morning instead of having a show on Sunday morning. And we're going to have one on Sunday, so it's not an instead of. I thought I would try to do this more often. I don't know how often yet, but we'll try Friday morning, December 28th at 6 o'clock in the morning and see how it goes. This morning we're going to be talking about a topic that is almost difficult to talk about because we all do it. We're going to talk about letting the past come in and drag us down, letting our memories about who people were affect our ability to see who they are. But before we get to that, I'm going to join you and ask you to join me. And let's bring our hearts and minds together and pray for those who are unlovable. Now, unlovable is obviously a very flexible standard. But for me, I use the gauge of people whose conduct I just am not happy being around. Not necessarily saying that there are not occasions when I'm probably unlovable. So this morning we're praying for others and we're praying for ourselves. We're meditating for the world and we're meditating for our souls. It doesn't matter what words we use. I love the concept that Mahatma Gandhi says that let each person pray according to their light. Let each person follow their light. So whatever brings you peace, whatever word you use to define the universe, the all that is, the great spirit, Yahweh, Allah, God, use that word. And let's all bring our minds together in recognition that we are one. We are one unity. And today, let us send loving, healing thoughts as we approach a new year in the Western culture, as we approach a time when former Prime Minister Bhutto has died, as we approach a time when persons are vulnerable all around the world to man's inhumanity to man. Although we may not individually be responsible for such conduct, we individually can make a difference by collectively joining our individual spirits and thoughts in love and joy. What does that mean? Well, it means that right now we're all together. We're reaching out, holding hands spiritually in an effort to make a difference, that we're linking ourselves in this energy format of the internet. And we're saying for now, pardon me, we're going to join this small part, this individual part of the whole that I represent with other parts of the whole. We're sending our energy out over the wavelengths of the internet. We're holding hands. We're forming a circle of friends. And from that circle, we're sending a unified message of love. Let us first take three deep breaths, breathing from the pit of our feet, the very bottom of our souls, pulling the air in long strokes, inviting it in with your nose and sending it back through your back with your mouth. Two. Someday I envision us standing together and as a unit experiencing the divine light that connection of three deep breaths brings. Now let us join our minds and our hearts and send good. Oh, good's a relative word. Let's send loving. Let's send words that invite people to be their highest self, that invite sharing, communion, that invite lifting up others. And now let's open our minds, let's open our hearts, and as we do in one deep breath, let us send love to each and every person in the world. And now let's individually, for a moment, think of those people whose behavior is unloving toward us or that we have deemed unloving toward others. And let's send those people love. Let's wish for the entire world that everyone has a full belly, that everyone has food, that everyone is provided shelter. Because it is in our conscious effort to think about those things that we can manifest them. And never, never, never in the most recent history of this planet has man tried peace. Never, ever, ever in the most recent history of this planet has man tried love. So let's together on the count of three think love. Fill our hearts with love. Fill our bodies with air. Let's do it. Breathe. One, two, three. We send you love. We send our planet love. We send loving thoughts. So, what are we talking about today? Past indignities. When I was first learning to use Lexis, oh my gosh, so many years ago, I'm sometimes amazed, 20 plus years ago, pardon me, there was a comment made that really stuck in my mind, and it was that Lexis works on concordances. Guy, a big word, I didn't have any idea what that meant. And that those concordances are very similar to how you and I operate in our thinking. So basically, every experience that we've ever had, every thought we've ever had, is stored away in our mind. And we can call forth parts, bits, pieces of that thought process at various times. And have you ever noticed that if you can't remember something, you will? Well, the reason you will is because your mind is like a giant computer, and it works on concordances. And so it will go back and sort and sort and sort and look for that thought, and suddenly at an unexpected time or perhaps in the middle of the night, you'll wake up, and there you'll go. The thought will be there. The word will appear miraculously. Wow. So our mind is like a giant concordance, a giant computer. So what does that mean? Well, it really means, in what I consider to be my former life teacher terms, a cum folder. And I can recall as a very young adult being given a pile of folders for every student that I was expected to read before the start of the year. Now, I could talk about what I read in those cum folders. I can tell you that sometimes they were good things and sometimes they were not so good things, but sometimes they were life-changing words. And sometimes they were not words that I needed to read. So what kind of words? Well, although I do not believe that being gay is anything other than some soul agreeing to come to this planet and experience the world and all of the destructive negative thoughts of the world from the perspective of being attracted to the same sex, facing the judgments, the discriminations, the pains, and rising to their highest self. I don't believe that persons who are gay are any different than persons who are right-handed or persons who are left-handed. That's just the way they are. It's not a decision. My gosh, who would decide to put themselves up to the way man treats persons who are not, quote, following the norm? But my goodness, people, my friends, do you know that I read a Qum folder for a young boy, this was in fifth grade, who was, heaven help us, marked in kindergarten, marked on his Qum folder as showing feminine tendencies. And every year thereafter, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, those tendencies were reaffirmed. What are feminine tendencies in a kindergartner? For heaven's sakes. Now, if the boy was gay, then he was gay, and that's the way it is. But for heaven's sakes, look at the label, the memory that was created by that folder, the collective memory that went forward year by year by year. I wanted to erase those comments. Or the little boy who year after year after year is marked as someone who is violent and needs to be watched closely. It leaves you wondering, well, how much of that violent behavior is a product of watching him closely? How many kids who live in the project have a criminal record only because there are more policemen in the project, potentially? Or they're more likely to be, whatever it is, patted down? Or in my world, called a Terry stop? You know, what are these memories that we're creating and how do we keep them going? That's what we're going to talk about, the Qum folders of life. Because frankly, as long as we cling to an image of a person from a past encounter, we deny that person the right to be new and we deny ourselves the right to see a new person. So what am I talking about? You've all seen it. You've all heard it. You're sitting in a crowd of people and someone is saying, wow, you know, I saw Alfred yesterday or I saw Mabel yesterday and she is really looking great. She's done Nutrisystem and she's lost like 100 pounds. Consider this my advertisement for Nutrisystem. A lot of food. So here we are. Here's Mabel, 100 pounds lighter. And what do people start talking about? Yeah, Mabel, I remember her. She does look great now. But remember when she was able to eat like a horse. Or remember, Mabel, when she weighed 225 pounds. Or remember this. And they start telling fat stories about Mabel instead of celebrating her weight loss. Or you're talking about a little kid. And a little kid, for heaven's sakes, who made a mistake. And now you're talking about what a wonderful event. This child just graduated from high school. They're 18 years old. And instead of celebrating the joy of the high school graduation, instead of celebrating the joy of the knowledge acquired, you say, well, I can remember when they did this. I can remember when she was unwilling to wear her seatbelt buckled. So strong-willed, so independent. My friends, in the negative memories, the indignities of the past, we are taking away the luster of the moment. We are denying those people their accomplishments in order to somehow talk about memories. Some of you out there will say, no, 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 no. We're just, you know, we're able to celebrate who they are by looking at who they were. Who they were is done. Mabel stands before you an accomplished, beautiful woman. Let's focus on who she is right now, because it is in that focus that we free her to be all she can be. We free her from the past. Maybe Mabel is not real happy about the fact that she weighed 225 pounds. She doesn't have to remember unless she chooses to do an ad on TV. But the past is done. It is completed. It is not just completed for us, but it is completed for others, and we seem to not be able to let go of the past. There is nothing more destructive than to be talking about a person in the present and then pull up something they did before in the past. And believe me, there is nothing more destructive than to deny a person the right to overcome their mistakes. Don't you want that right? I do. I don't want someone to remember that I made a mistake. My goodness, people, it weighs on my heart that when I was 4 years old, I palmed some candy and took it out of the store. Now, my mom paid for it, but it doesn't matter. It weighs on my heart because I stole something. Do you know how crushing it would be for me if someone would say, well, yes, she's graduated from law school. Yes, she is a fairly good citizen. Sometimes she's not so good, but she's pretty good citizen, average. But let me tell you, don't be deluded. She's a thief. At 4 years old, she took a piece of candy. That's what you're saying, folks. Don't be deluded by Mabel's weight. She's really a fat person. Don't be deluded by Mary Jane's graduation from high school. She really isn't a smart person. She's strong-willed because when she was 3, she did this. And when she was 4, she did this. And when she was 5, she did this. Folks, you're denying that person the glory of now, something you don't want to do for yourself. It breaks my heart to see that happen. We need to let go of memories. We need to clean out the cum folder because those memories affect how we treat that person, even if we believe it doesn't. Those memories cut against the grain of that person being all they can be in our eyes and, believe me, in their eyes. They hold the memories themselves. Gerald Jampolsky says, inner peace can be reached only when we practice forgiveness. Forgiveness is letting go of the past and is therefore the means for correcting our misperceptions. Why is it that we bring up negative stuff from the past? Why? There's only one purpose, to make sure that people see that this person really isn't whom they seem to be. They're really this other person. I'm really a thief because at 4 I stole. And in acting that way, in saying those things, in carrying negative memories forward, we steal from other people the glory of the moment. And somehow we create victims instead of survivors. And perhaps that's the moment. Victims instead of survivors. So now let's look at ourselves on an individual basis. How often do you find times when nothing that happens is your fault? It's always somebody else doing to you. It's always a product of not having a break, of not having your glory recognized. And other people's successes are luck, the luck of the draw. In taking a victim mentality, in seeing yourself as a rock that has been ground down to a grain of sand by the ocean, you deny yourself the right to rise up and be your highest self. It does not matter what anyone else in the world has done to you. What matters is how you deal with it. I once had this beautiful lady in Houston say to me, well, you know, when you get lemons, the best thing to do is make lemonade. Wow. Now, we all, each and every one of us sitting here, have times when we sit around and we look at those sour lemons and with our tears pour salt on them. That's human. That's human nature, because on occasion, each and every one of us have moments where we feel like we just haven't gotten a fair shake. Life hasn't been fair to us. And that's probably true. It hasn't. You know, I used to tell my kids life isn't fair, but it's probably true. It hasn't been fair. So what are you going to do? Give up your peace, give up your happiness, give up your joy, give up your right to have a new moment and smile and laugh? Or sit around clinging to how this past moment just wasn't right? Just how they didn't treat you fairly. Because that's what you're doing. That's what I'm doing in those moments. Giving up joy. That goes to the cube folder we run on ourselves. But in that cube folder, instead of critically looking at ourselves, critically evaluating ourselves, and then saying, okay, let's move forward, we usually have the names of the people mentally engraved who caused this to happen. But for that, I would be more. If this had happened, I would be more. So what do you think? The call-in number is 646-595-3584. Any thoughts on this? Do you run a cume folder on yourself? Do you run a cume folder on people you know? Are you one of those people who say something positive but then twist it off at the end by remembering a past hurt, a past indignity, a past not enough? So give me a call. And even if that is happening in your life, it's a product of not listening to yourself. Not hearing your words, not thinking about the impact of your words on the silence. I one time read, and I'm sorry I cannot give you the source, a beautiful quote that said, is the silence improved by my words? Have I uplifted people? Is the world a better place? Does the person feel better about his or herself? For me, I can tell you definitively that I am taking some solace in not speaking and staying silent, when speaking would serve no purpose. However, when I'm in those situations where I see someone who's at their most magnificent point right now, like Mabel, and I hear people talking about Mabel being fat, I do speak out, not in anger, But I remind them of, oh, well, you know, but Mabel has accomplished so much. Can you imagine how hard that was to do? Have you even given any consideration to that process? Or Mary Jane graduating from high school. Yeah, you know, you're right. Mary Jane was strong-willed at times, but look at what it's gotten for her, what she's accomplished. She's graduated from high school and she's moving forward. I prefer to focus on this beautiful young girl standing before me, graduating from high school, heading off to college with a bright future. I don't think any of us have lived a perfect childhood. I'm finding that when I say those kinds of things, what happens is the conversation changes. I'm starting to think about my words. They're starting to think about their words and about the destructive, negative influence of words. Miguel Ruiz, Don Miguel Ruiz, in The Four Agreements says the first agreement is to be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. When you take the glory of a moment and you reduce it by talking about something that happened in the past, you are gossiping, whether about yourself or about others. Normally, when it's yourself, it's a mental, well, you're not enough thing. People are enough. No one lives life perfectly, and people make mistakes, and especially mistakes as children. We need to learn to forgive and to exercise from our mind the memories of negative things, to wipe out those cube folder entries that influence how we look at another. Today, I'd like to share with you a quote from Only Love, Living the Spiritual Life in a Changing World by Swai Dayamata. And it reads, watch your own thoughts and actions. Guruji used to say to us, after we had meditated, remain quiet, be withdrawn. Even when you leave your meditation seat, let your mind rest constantly, or as often as possible, in the strength and thought of God. In that thought, we draw the strength, the wisdom, the great love that our souls hunger for. Be mentally anchored in that which alone is changeless in this changing world, God. When one gets to know his real nature, he becomes a bubbling ocean of joy within. And he is so desirous of holding on to that joy that he is careful to avoid displaying it too much outwardly, lest it be lost. I would add, maybe leak out. Be always kind and loving. Get away from petty thoughts, from smallness. If others are unkind to you, try to win them by your love. If that doesn't work, then give the problem to God and forget it. That is the way to get along in the world. Each one of us should strive to manifest divine love. We are not to concern ourselves with whether or not others are manifesting their love. If we base our behavior on that of others, we will never overcome the small self. We have to seek to maintain a higher consciousness for ourselves. If that lofty ideal is always in your mind, and if you are concentrated on your own striving, you will have no time to think whether or not others are following this ideal or doing their part. Your concern should be for your own actions and your own state of consciousness, whether you are inwardly racing to the feet of the divine beloved. Wow. Think about ourselves. Talk with love, watch your words, and may love enfold you, my friends, as you approach the holiday season, and may you represent love to others. Together, let's give peace and love a chance.